Right now, most users of the Defense Department's classified network, known as CipherNet, log on using just a username and password. That method is going away in favor of a more secure two-factor identification system, combining something users know with something they have in their physical possession, just like they do when they use the non-secret network, NIPRNet. Users will get a separate smart card and a PIN number, similar to DoD's Common Access Card, that'll be used only for the secret network. The Army says they've been deployed to more than 2,000 users so far through an initial operational test and evaluation, and Tracy Traylor, chief of the Army's Identity Management Division, says soldiers like them.
It's really cool. It's a live token. You get to keep it for 3 years. It's not that we're going to take it back at the end of the day or at the end of the period for the IoT-ney. And you don't have to remember that 15-character password that we all have written on the sticky under the keyboard or in the desk. So I am definitely a fan, not just because I run the program, because I can never remember my password.
Traylor speaking to an Army audience at this week's Land War Net conference here in Tampa, Florida. The Army has gotten DoD approval to continue deploying the cards in a test mode to Army organizations that volunteer. Traylor says they want to distribute as many as they can through the test so there's not a mad dash to make the switch all at once when DoD finally pulls the plug on CipherNet usernames and passwords. DoD is paying the bill for the initial deployment of the smart card system. Good news for the Army, just the physical cards themselves cost around $40 each, and the Army has an estimated 300,000 CipherNet users. Meanwhile, the Army and DoD as a whole are beefing up the security of their existing system of common access cards, which are used for most day-to-day unclassified tasks. They're phasing out an older, weaker data security algorithm known as SHA-1, which is now more than 15 years old. Its replacement, the stronger SHA-2, will officially take over in January of 2014, and SHA-1 will no longer be supported on newly minted cards. Traylor says they're trying to make the transition as painless to users as possible, but there are no guarantees.
Your CAT card will continue to work. Your web applications and different things like that that were only accepting SHA-1 may not. We went out with a data call to find out, you know, what applications were out there to make people aware that this change was coming. And so we're trying to use every opportunity that we can to make sure that we get the word out. We're trying to capture some of those and do some testing with some of the tactical systems with CERDAC. That's what we've just partnered with the Signal Center to help us do, as well as the data center consolidation. So we've added that to their checklist. So as they take these applications and they move them from one data center to the new data center, that's something that they're also made aware of at that time. So we want January 1st, 2014 to be uneventful, so when that new CAT card is issued to that one person, that it's just transparent. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. The apps are ready to go. No big deal.
Another reason for the move, it's required for DoD to continue to share information with many of the civilian agencies in the federal government.
A lot of our federal organizations are just going straight to SHA-2. So if you're authenticating to some of their networks or websites or different things like that, they're already going to be on SHA-2.
But even when DoD users are authenticated inside military networks, many of the individual systems inside those networks that people need to access on a day-to-day basis still rely on individual, localized schemes of usernames and passwords. That brings up a third change the Army has just started to work on, together with the Defense Information Systems Agency. DISA is working on a system to synchronize DoD users' identities across the myriad systems the military services run around the globe and get rid of all those individual accounts.
What that's going to look like is we were going to take your identity and your attributes that make up who you are. It might be major, reserve, civilian, contractor, all of these things about you, and store it in an identity forest. So our goal is to authenticate once to that force based on your single identity and all of these attributes that we know about you, and then grant you access to those things that you need.
The new approach would give users access to systems based on their roles in DoD rather than based on the fact that they were manually granted approval by a system administrator. Richard Hale is DISA's chief information assurance executive. In an interview with Federal News Radio, he says the attribute-based system fits neatly into the enterprise IT view that DoD is trying to build.
It's invisible to me. I don't have to go ask anybody for an account. So sharing is much easier, information access is much easier. Composing these information resources into new business processes and new warfighting processes is much easier because we're hiding much of the access control detail from end user, and we're working it at the enterprise. So it's kind of a cloud access model, even though these services may not be in the cloud. And we're making it so information isn't so locally controlled, right? That's one of the big things. Accounts mean information is very locally controlled in many cases. Here we're trying to free that up. So we'll have enterprise policies. I can get access if I match the enterprise policy. Local site doesn't have to decide what that policy is. Hopefully, again, this leads to all kinds of innovation in warfighting processes and humanitarian relief processes because everything is easier to do.
Individual system administrators would no longer know precisely who has access to the systems they're in charge of. But on the other hand,
what happens here is because we have that DoD PKI credential, we have very strong identification, much stronger than we have now, right? There are no passwords involved in this. So we have very strong identity in this new system, and so we can audit accesses to systems. We can look for misbehavior across multiple systems, right? We can collect those server logs, and because a human being's behavior is tightly tied to them by this PKI credential, we can know with much higher assurance than we know now that it really was Richard Hale that accessed a particular piece of information at a particular time. If there really is strong misuse, we're more likely to be able to do something about it. We're more likely to be able to prosecute successfully, for instance.
Traylor says the Army got the green light to start developing the system with DISA earlier this month. She says there are big questions left to answer, though, including how many different attributes to collect and store about users, given the fact that those cards are used for many different functions by many different DoD organizations, for everything from access to computer terminals to access to physical gates and doorways. In Tampa, Florida, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.